Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Two sleeps until we get actual Texans on the field, training camp, and you'll be able to hear right here in loop, right here on Sports Radio 610, because it doesn't just start with in loop. 6 a.m.,
yeah.
The fellas of Payne and Pendergast with Brandon Scott sitting in for Seth Payne on Wednesday are getting you going. They're getting you hype, and we'll jump right in into the fray 10 a.m., giving you the sights and sounds of what's happening, and then, of course, the drive doing what they do, which is breaking down all the action, giving you the best kind of understanding of what was seen at practice. This is the place to be if you're ready for Texans 2025 season. Camp starts not tomorrow. Guys report tomorrow, and then Wednesday is when we get going in that way. Will there be an Astros team left by Wednesday, Lopez?
Man, that's a good question. I didn't think it would have to be, but it is.
Dude, like I thought, oh man, they are operating at, just like what I was saying earlier, where mm-hmm. there's lower, it's like, oh, there's more injuries that can happen. 16 Astros currently on the injured list. 5 of them started the season as starters for your team. That stat was courtesy of Chandler Rome. The IL list is robust. Lopez, I imagine you're about to go back through it and put up this lineup that really could be competitive. But are they in a place where they absolutely have to make a deal? Not just with the when it comes to the trade deadline here in about, like, what, 9-10 days?
Yeah.
But, like, if they want to contend in the way that
they've
talked about.
If they want to contend, not just, hey, we won the division. And that all of a sudden, it was looking a little dicier around 5 o'clock yesterday. But that is not necessarily a guarantee because it was a 3 o'clock game.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was like, what was happening?
I saw your face. Yeah, if they want to contend, they're going to have to enter the market. And I've changed my tune on that. I was thinking pitching because I don't trust the pitchers that are on the IL that we've talked about. But you need an infielder. You need a left-handed bat. You need a bat and an infielder, preferably a third baseman. But infielder will do because, you can mix and match a third base if you have somebody who can play second base consistently or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and
Jeremy Pena back.
And that is fair. That's fair. And I asked one of the winners of the weekend, I didn't mention Bryce Matthews got himself his first big league hit.
Yeah.
But is he a guy that, you know, I keep looking at him, and I was personally hoping that he'd be a guy that could come in and just kind of fill in. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a guy that you feel comfortable coming in and holding down second base. Like you said, if you can find a second baseman, especially a left-handed one, so you're not simply relying on Victor Caratini being his switch hitter to give you the left-handed look from time to time, you're not, as much as I need him back just generally, you're not just hoping on, all right, when Yordan gets back, that'll be a left-handed bat that gives you some feel. Like, you give yourself an opportunity to really have a left-handed, you know, some guys to force teams to actually have to consider throwing out different pitches.
And just get another weapon.
And yes, another weapon just in general. I think that would be huge. But yeah, you're right. That allows you to kind of shuffle and maybe not be as tilted, not have to put out, you know, the Zach Shorts and the, you know, Shea Whitcombs of the world. Not saying that they have not been able to step up in what you can when you needed to, but I think you need to be a little bit more flexible, especially when you're trying to go up against the best of the best. So yeah, I think you need to get an addition, and I've been very intrigued by what Jim Bowden put out, his latest intel, and I'm sure it gets even more day by day as we get closer. We'll get more insight into the teams that are willing to sell, the guys that are actually available. But the name that he put out there, Brandon Lau, second baseman from the Tampa Bay Rays, and that one catches my attention for Brandon Lau, a guy who's batting .269 this year as well with 19 home runs. Like, that fits perfectly with what we're talking about. Not just a guy who is a left-handed bat, not a left-handed bat just to get one, like a la what was the Cedric Mullins was kind of the name that we were talking about. And I know that our guy Luke was like, yeah, that doesn't move me. I get it. Brandon Lau moves me. A guy that can hit for average, but then also has some power with him. He's getting some RSBI. I know people love it when I say it that way. You know, I think all of those things, in addition to being a guy that can hold down second base on a day-to-day basis, that catches my attention.
It does, and I feel, you know, if you fall into the trap now of, oh, they'll make do, well, they'll be fine. Well, we've seen it over the last, week plus. They can't. They did it for a while, and they impressed us, and they made it some nice – they got some nice wins with this – despite all these players on the injured list, but that has passed. You definitely need to get better. And also you need to get better because it's very, very clear. You mentioned Bowden, but all the national just about all the national writers and reporters about Major League Baseball. The Mariners and Yankees and others, teams in the American League, are going to make moves. They are reportedly deep into – I think the Yankees, I think their Spanish-language broadcaster even said that they have a deal in place, or at least in the works, for Eugenio Suarez, who's a really good bat. The Mariners are in that, and there are other teams contending. You can't just stand pat at this point. If you're gonna make that move and do more than just maybe win the division, you got to make a move here.
Yeah, that's a fair point that I guess I was not even considering, and it's easy to forget if you're not thinking, you don't have your thinking cap on. It's not the rest of the teams around you are not staying stagnant.
No,
they are going to address at the deadline their issues, the things that they need to get better at, and so thus. I know that you can look at the Astros team and say they have been able to withstand all of the issues, but does that then change if everybody else puts it into another gear?
Right.
And you're just waiting for reinforcements to get you to that space. Some of these reinforcements, mind you, that have not necessarily had great years to this point. Yordan was not having a Yordan-type year before he got hurt whenever he returns. A lot of these pitchers that you're hoping that come back, although, again, I think I'm off of the idea of, like, the pitching, getting help in the pitching. I think it has to be a bat. But even the pitching that comes back, hopefully you can get a number of them back so you have guys that fill out your rotation and maybe even add into your pen. But you don't know exactly what those guys look like. And a la look over at Lance McCullers Jr., who now has significantly more less than stellar outings than he has had good ones this year. Like, you can't guarantee that they come back and they give you exactly what you're looking for.
No, you can't. And I get it that, that Garcia has been throwing, albeit – a lot of buzz about his different throwing motion. Is it compensation for the shoulders? Just a better way that he feels to throw. But he did go two innings. I think just I forget the exact number, but he was solid for two innings. A lot of buzz about Eric Geddy, but I don't know what you can count on. Even if they do come back and they're just okay, you probably still need to find more pitching. But the priority is definitely going to be hitting at this point.
Ooh, okay, see, and this is where I'm starting to get to an interesting place, because then in order for you to get that, especially if there's going to be a level of competition, I don't know exactly what it looks like. Mm-hmm. We'll continue to see what the trade demands end up being. So on the text line from the 832, Brendan Donovan from St. Louis would be better. And yeah, the Cardinal second baseman, he has a little versatility, second baseman, left field, third base, which that sounds very intriguing. And those three positions, especially as a guy that has some versatility, a 2.6 WAR this point. I know that that's not something you lean on, but a 2.91 batting average, only 8 homers, so not as much like power you're talking about there, but a 4.21 slug and an OPS of 7.84.
Mm-hmm.
I can deal with that. I can very much deal with that guy sliding in and giving you a little bit of consistency at second base. So,
yeah.
And that's another guy, obviously throws right is fair enough. Somebody was mentioning that, hey, having a left-handed second baseman, not the easiest thing. Obviously, there's guys that throw right and bat left, and these two guys, Lau and Donovan, are guys that we're talking about. But, yeah, another one that I would be very intrigued in seeing if the Astros can get. So there's guys out there, but I do wonder what the cost is going to be. And at this point, especially when you add Isak Paredes possibly to that place, does that take you more into the place where you lean into bump the cost, or does that take you into a place where maybe – especially if he's going to have an extended missing time, does that push you away where you're like, I don't know how much I'm going
to push? Well, remember last week, you guys kind of, were a little surprised when I said at this point, you just do it. You just do it. And again, it depends on are big picture, are you in a place where like, hey, if we win the division, fans will be happy, we'll have a shot, we'll take our chances in the postseason? Or are you in a place where, nah, there's an opportunity here and we want to make another run because we don't know just exactly how many, how many years this window is going to remain open. They've got to be in that second place. They've got to be in that second place where they don't know exactly how many years this window is going to be open, so you make the move now. You make the move now.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to the Astros who, man, Dana Brown's got his work cut out for him. I did find it interesting, though, and I mentioned the Jim Bowden piece on The Athletic. He did say that he's penciling in Dana Brown for executive of the year at this point in his estimation. That seems fair, right?
It absolutely seems fair considering all the things that they're doing. We mentioned 16 players, an entire roster, literally an entire roster.
You want to run that down?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but we can go through it if you weren't listening. You have a first baseman, DiCenzo. Second, Rogers. Third, Paredes. Shortstop, Peña. Outfield.
Your left side of the infield is a lot better in my mind than this right side of that infield, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outfield, Jake Myers, Melton, and Pedro Leon. DH, Yordan Alvarez, anybody?
Forgotten about Pedro Leon. Yeah. And Melton, honestly. At this point, Jacob Melton.
You've got an entire roster. Alvarez, DH. Guillorme is your utility guy. Your starting pitching staff goes six deep, which is probably deeper than you could go right now. Yeah,
if you had to play a game, Astros IL versus currently healthy Astros, I like my starting pitching matchup on the, for the IL Astros.
Do you like what they have right now? Obviously with Hunter Brown and Fromber at the top, but still, or Arrighetti, Blanco, France, Garcia, Javier, and Wesneski.
Although it's all in theory, that's the problem.
Exactly.
But the names are really fun there compared to, and again, I feel like I constantly am undercutting these cats, and I have to give them the respect that's due that they keep carrying the load with the Colton Gordon and the Ryan Gusto now in your pen again. But, you know, those guys, the Brandon Walter, these guys that are coming through and handling business for you. I'd be hard pressed to not look at the likes of even Wesneski, who started off the season very well, Arrighetti, those guys, and go, that's not a better starting lineup. So yeah, I mean, just a lot of injuries. You're starting to see some of them throw a lot of these guys, whether it's Florida, you know, single or double A rather, all those various places. You're starting to see them kind of ramp up, but as we all know, that can be a little dicey. But yes,
the Garcia thing's interesting to me. Like he's changed his delivery. I don't know if that's better or not.
Well, I mean, I think I would lean towards better considering like the Astros car wash. We've kind of gotten away from that thinking of like, yo, they do a great job of helping these pitchers get to the best
place.
But
he was good.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, he was good before he changed it up.
Yeah.
And when he came back, he ended up getting hurt a little early.
Yeah.
So we have no idea if that pitching style will, you know, make him better.
Okay, so maybe you take that from the negative of if he's having a change, it means that the injury was so substantial that he can't keep doing it that same way.
I don't know if it's like taking a negative approach. I'm saying the fact that it's different makes me feel, you know, as if there's something else going on here.
Yeah, if he had a whole year where he was doing good in that new pitching style and then got hurt, then, you know, it's nothing to really worry about.
Right.
But that's another question we haven't even talked about.
Right.
You're not wrong.
I hate that they made them switch that pitcher style too, man. I like that old cha-cha he used to do before.
From the 832, DiZenzo's nice, y'all tripping. I mean, look.
DiZenzo is nice.
DiZenzo is pretty. Yeah. And I was about to say, like, but would you compare him? And then I was about to say Christian Walker, who, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, you back home. Your best years of the last, what, few years were in this building at Chase Field when you were about to, where the Astros are about to play the Diamondbacks. Turn it back. Like, turn back the clock, please. We need it. Yeah. We need to see it. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about the time where we hand things over to our man Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so we got training camp coming up this week, which means next month, I want to say, fantasy football draft. People should be having their drafts. So in the spirit of that, I want to know, what's the worst fantasy football punishment you've been a part of or witness? Because I got one. I want to see if this one compares.
Okay.
All right, let's get to fantasy football punishment. 713-572-4610. We'll do next.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Figgy holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. Worst fantasy football punishments. 713-572-4610.
We're going to get some.
Yeah, before we get to that, though, I got to pour one out for my guy. Somebody I grew up watching, somebody we all grew up watching, Malcolm Jamal Warner. TMZ, I think other news outlets just released this as we were on the air. But passed away at the age of 50. I want to say he was 54.
Yeah.
At the age of 54 from an apparent drowning.
Oh,
accidental drowning.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one kind of hit me hard, man. I know a lot of people know who he is from. The Cosby Show, been around for a long time, man. Really, to me, I feel like he have a real under the radar type of acting career, man, because we all go to him as the guy on the Cosby Show.
That's Theo.
Theo on the Cosby Show has some legendary moments on there. But he was still active, man. He was still active out here. He was just in, I want to say he was in a couple episodes of 9-1-1. He played a little bit on The Resident. He was one of the main characters on The Resident,
mm-hmm.
playing in, made some appearances in other shows and stuff like that. So,
I'm looking at his IMDb. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was still active yeah. out here, man.
Yeah, I remember him in him doing a little bit of Community. But the one that me and you get.
The first thing we talked about, because Lopez, when he broke the news to us, he mm-hmm. said, "Oh, from the Cosby Show."
I was like, "Nah, Malcolm and Eddie, buddy."
He was like, "Malcolm and Eddie." One, I feel like that's a bit of an underrated sitcom 100%. As well.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. But Cosby Show was really before you guys.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
It
was reruns when you
Yeah, the problem yeah. is like, yeah, yeah. no problem. The thing about it is when you have something of such syndication, it kind of is everybody still.
Sure,
at that,
sure.
Well, up until old boy messed it up for everybody. But Man, rest in peace.
He was in Sons of Anarchy?
Was he? Wow, I didn't realize that, because that's one of my blind spots.
He played in a lot of stuff, man, and even just the small little appearances. Mm-hmm. So I think he made an appearance on the new Wonder Years.
I don't know. Was that good? Because I really liked the original Wonder Years.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, made an appearance on American Horror Story. Just little stuff like that. He was still out here active. He was mm-hmm. smart. With how he chose his roles, I saw. I want to say it was an interview. Him talking about the way he chooses his roles to not kind of put him in a blind spot or do something he don't really want to do.
And he had the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah. So very sad, man. Very sad. Sad day, man. So rest in peace to Malcolm Jamal Warner. All right, as I continue on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610, worst fantasy football punishments. Text the man 713-572-4610. And I asked that because ESPN Fantasy posted this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy wearing a shirt with some words on it. And it says he lost his fantasy football league and his punishment is to take 7 consecutive flights around the country for 2 days straight.
Wow.
And
that's
I thought about
tough.
That. I'm like, that's a tough one, mm-hmm. man. That's real tough.
That used to be a treat.
Well, yeah.
And now it's a punishment.
Yes,
because 7 consecutive. Man, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
And so he wearing a shirt that said, "Ask me about my fantasy football punishment."
See, that's the worst part about it. Now you got to have these conversations on flights in an airport.
Yeah, I'm sitting next to you. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's not just that you have to do all this flying around and dealing with airport food and maybe delays now and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now you having this conversation over and over and over again in some of the, I guess in some ways, it actually is more hospitable of a place to have conversation than we give it credit for, the airport and those mm-hmm. types. But, you know, now we have
it's
made
forced,
it to where it's kind of not hospitable. And now you having conversations because mm-hmm. people are like, "So you lost your fantasy football league, huh?"
Yeah. Yeah. Have y'all been a part of any losing far as like fantasy?
You look at me and you think I'm a loser? That's crazy.
Losing, yes, but never last. And it's usually the guy that finishes last that has to do the punishment.
Yeah.
And there have been some really mean ones, too. Like it's unfair almost, some of the ones that we've seen out there.
Couple of ones that I remember very fondly. One, you know the actor John Hamm?
Mm-hmm.
So John Hamm, I think he's a Kansas City guy, but you
yes.
know,
yes, he is. Yeah.
You know, so but I think he was on one of these late night shows talking about his fantasy league, and this was when he was doing Mad Men. So he's in the middle of it, and what happens with the league is whoever wins the mm-hmm. league
picks
just gets to pick somebody that gets kicked out of the league.
Yeah.
Mm. And but you don't know you're kicked out of league until the next draft. So everybody comes out and draft is about to start. 1.1
that would piss
about
me
to pick
off.
Up, and they just go, "Hey, you, out of here." So John Hamm has a day where he's got a big day filming on Mad Men. He gets done. He gets into the car. He's headed back. You know, he does a lot of research, so he gets to the place. He's taking out his notepad. He's opening it up, and they go, "Hey, Hamm, you're out." I was like, "That's sick. That is nasty." But I would fight somebody.
Nah, I would be pissed off.
I'd fight somebody. Like, you got me in this Twin Peaks for nothing?
Yeah, y'all got me wasting my time, man.
Yeah,
I've been reading up all the documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been looking at rankings for you to kick me out the day of, and if you don't have a second league set up, you're just not gonna have a league. Ain't nobody putting together a league that quick.
I'm putting cases on all you people if that happened to me.
So there's that one, and then the other one that I love, when I was doing radio elsewhere, we did a story, or we saw a story about a dude who had to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House as his punishment.
I remember that one, yeah.
And then what you do is, for every waffle you eat, you get to shave off an hour. And so one of my hosts was like, man, I could probably eat like 10 waffles in an hour and be out of there quick. And I was like, no, you can't. He's like, yes, I can. And I made him try it. Funniest thing. Food challenges that you know they're going to fail at. The funniest thing. He was dying 45 minutes in eating like five waffles. Because it was a big waffle.
Those and they waffles. I mean, they expand in your stomach. You know, it's the worst.
Idiot.
Yeah. Somebody from the 281 said, fantasy punishment. Loser had to eat 6 Taco Bell bean burritos, 6 small bowls of refried beans.
Oh, Lord.
And 3 shots of laxative all in 1 hour.
Oh, see, now that's dangerous.
Just whoop my ass at this point, man. just punch me like it's my birthday or something, man.
Because that's what they're doing. They're punching you in the intestines. The laxative, because the burritos and the beans is already
that'll
like,
do it by itself.
We're trying to get you there. The laxatives was like, no, just in case.
Yeah.
We want you to know we hate you.
Yeah.
Our fantasy is a little more friendly than that. The big league that I'm in every year. The first place team gets to pick what the last place team cooks for them. Like the last place team has to cook an entire meal for the first place team. So that's always good.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Wait, somebody said which MLB player slapped another one over fantasy? What somebody said was that Bryce Harper? I think that was somebody said it was Brad Kelner, but that for some reason Tommy Pham comes up because Tommy Pham is a slapping ass dude. He be slapping the hell out of folks.
Yeah. Keep sending them in, 713-572-4610. As I continue the mixtape in the Loot Sports Radio 610, I want to ask you guys something. Have you guys ever had an MRI?
I have not.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Y'all never had an MRI? That's kind of shocking.
I've been very fortunate.
I've had the x-rays. I've busted bones and stuff and ligaments, but never to the point where I need an MRI.
Okay, so I actually had an MRI kind of recent. It was probably like a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having problems with my knee and still having the same problems with my knee. They didn't find anything, but that's a whole nother story. But I think I almost ended up in the situation because if you don't know, when you have an MRI, you can't have anything metal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have anything metal in. So, you know, I took my earring out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I forgot I had my nose ring in.
Oh, no.
So I got there and like, oh, make sure you take that out. And I don't think it's like real metal.
Okay, good. Because I thought you got in there and it started pulling on
you. No. So, they actually had me take it out. Well, I'm like, oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
But it's a story on ABC News of a man who was in critical condition after he was being sucked into an MRI machine. For something. This is something that could have happened to me, and this happened to him, but he wasn't wearing a nose ring. He was actually wearing a full-blown metal chain. Here's the story from ABC News.
A truly horrible and unusual accident. Nassau County police say a 61-year-old man was magnetically pulled into an MRI Wednesday while wearing a large metal chain. He apparently walked into an unauthorized area at Nassau Open MRI in Westbury while a scan was underway, and he was drawn into the machine. He's now in critical condition.
That really made me upset because that should never happen. The only thing I saw was Nassau County Police Department, ambulance, fire department.
Carolyn Spruill arrived to the business on Old Country Road Thursday for an MRI, only to be told the machine wasn't working.
I made another appointment here, but I think I better reschedule it somewhere else. I think so. I didn't hear anything about that. They just said that the machine was broke.
Police say the victim is from Long Island and was not a patient. Rather, he was at the facility with someone else.
If this was a chain that was wrapped around the neck, I could imagine any kind of strangulation injuries that could happen, asphyxiation, cervical spine injuries. If the patient was slammed against the MRI, any kind of blunt force trauma that we can think about could happen.
When asked about the incident, the company had no comment and police are still investigating.
I guess not. Dang.
Man, that's a sad situation, man.
Yeah, obviously someone was desperately at fault there.
Yeah, and I was listening to it because I'm not sure if I should blame the guy for doing that.
That's what I'm saying. It might have been him.
It sound like that people are kind of looking at the place
right
as the blame. But what do you do if somebody just walk into a room like that? I mean, maybe you should have more protection from having people walk behind there. But
yeah, that's going to be the litigation. Is that even if it's unauthorized? Did you adequately secure the unauthorized area to stop this because of the particular danger here. But I'm sorry, I'm just stuck on the visual of you just walking by.
Yeah.
And y'all some haters because Kiss Rocks was like, that's a fake chain. That was just where your main brain went first. I get it. Gold and silver, not magnetic. I get it. Fake chain. Mm-hmm. Fake chain meaning I'm going to be sucked into an MR machine. Like the idea that you're just walking by. He wasn't in it, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't. He was just walking by, and then this thing pulls him from across, like force grabs him, like the like Star Wars.
Yeah, just pulls him in.
That is terrifying. Mm-hmm. I am oof.
Yeah, that's really scary, man. Mm-hmm. That's really scary, and I just like me having my nose ringing. I ain't really think nothing of it.
Yeah,
but man, mm-hmm. prayers to everybody that's involved terrible, with that, man. That's sad situation. Yeah. All right, as I continue the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610, I came across this guy by the name of Mr. Beast. And
oh, you didn't know about Mr. Beast?
I did not know about
Mr.
Beast.
You're opening a whole wide world of stuff.
Oh, my goodness, he's huge.
Yeah, so he apparently challenged a pilot to stay on this $2.5 million jet for 100 days. And if he completes it, he get to keep the jet. Mm-hmm. And so this is how it kind of went.
Just bought this luxurious private jet, and if this pilot can spend 100 days trapped inside, he keeps it.
What?
No joke, I spent $2.5 million on this private jet, and once you step inside, the 100 days will begin.
100 days living in this thing? No problems.
If any part of your body touches the ground outside this plane, the video ends, and you lose this private jet.
Don't touch the ground.
Good luck.
See you when I see you.
Let's see if Armando can win this private jet.
So, spoiler alert, he won the jet. He didn't step out. He stayed on for 100 days.
Oh, wow. Great.
And I thought that was kind of badass.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, it was another challenge Mr. Beast decided to give the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the challenge. And I'll let you know what he did after this.
Your family has no idea about the second offer. The next 100 days for $500,000. Enough money where you can fly this wherever you want, whenever you want. You can fly them around.
No.
No, they're yelling at me.
No, say no. Whatever it is, say no.
Oh, she heard us. She said whatever it is, no.
I've been through enough.
Okay, well, that might make it a little harder on you. Armando, I need you to come to the back.
He better not stay on that jet.
Yes or no? Do you want to do another 100 days?
All right, spoiler alert, he did not do it.
He decided to go to his family.
So that would have been another 100 days. So I wanted to ask y'all this. Would y'all do a challenge like this? I thought about Lopez because mm-hmm. you're a big fan of boats, different type of boats.
Yeah. Or
I was wondering, would you stay on a boat for 100 days? And this is like a $2.5 million boat, yacht, whatever. Would you stay on there for 100 days and then another 100 days for the $500,000?
Give me a challenge.
He's like, would you live your dream for 100 days?
Yeah. How about 200 days? Let me think about it. So I could live on a boat, a nice boat.
But you can't get off the boat. That's the problem.
Yeah, you can't get off the boat.
Give me a challenge.
Stay on there for 100 days.
Oh.
I think the boat is actually easier than the plane. The plane is tough because like you just don't have as much room to ambulate or whatever.
Yeah, but...
is that even a word?
But, I would absolutely do it for 100, and then I would do it for another 100.
Mm.
Without question.
Ambulate is a word. Walk or move about. I used it right in everything. That's crazy.
You just helped your Scrabble game.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the funny thing. Is you started talking about that private jet, and my first thought was, I don't want it. That sounds like responsibility.
You sell it.
I guess you sell it. Because I'm like, that sounds like responsibility, the care upkeep of that. In fact, he would have to do the other 200 days, because how are you paying for the jet fuel? You can't just go and put 87 octane in there.
Yeah, see, that's why I was kind of shocked he jumped off the jet, because I would have been like, $500,000?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good little $500,000, man.
Yeah, but you can sell a $2.5 million jet, too.
Where I'm keeping it.
That's true.
Until you sell it.
Where am I keeping it?
Where is it?
All right, here you go. You got to go. You got to take this today. Put it where?
I put it in my front yard.
Yeah.
Put a sign on it.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool, though.
That's very cool.
I was trying to think. I probably would do it, too, because I don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. Just got a wife and a dog. She can hold it down for 100 days.
Yeah, man.
Hell, 200 days. She can hold it down. And she'll probably force me to stay on that plane for 200 days.
Yeah, if she finds out the extra 500 G's?
Yes.
That's funny. Somebody said, for $500,000 in a private jet, I'm doing it. 200 days for around $3 million, I would sell it. Fair enough. Lopez, even if the dock was dry docked or the boat was dry docked.
100%.
Good? Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm, very okay. good. And then some people coming in, I guess many people knew about the MRI story. Someone said that what had happened was his wife was the one getting the MRI. She called out to him. The machine wasn't off yet.
Oh,
and then he goes in.
Yeah. Oh, there will be litigation.
Yeah. I can only imagine. It's the American way. But that's really tough to hear. You learn all sorts of things at 1:20 p.m. every weekday in Figgy's Mixtape right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, or rather, I should let you know, at the Figgy Fig on social media, if you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy, send it to the man. He might put you on. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. But a question was asked of us on the text line that I kind of want to dig into. Which of the teams that are getting ready to start their season retooled better, Texans or Rockets? Let's talk about it next.
Just the feeling of football in the air got us feeling all sorts of different. Happy Monday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. There's other teams that are out there practicing right now, and it makes me think. Two sleeps before the Texans are out there doing just the same. We're seeing, you know, high octane passes down the field. I'm like, can't wait till Nico Collins is catching those from CJ Stroud. In fact, can't wait till Jaden Higgins is catching those from CJ Stroud. That's one of the ones that I'm really excited for. So really, really good to get into that feeling of that. Real quick, but from the mixtape, there's MRI stuff. I mean, I was very much in that place where I am stepping out way beyond my areas of expertise. I always want to make it clear I don't know things. And so people, especially in the city of Houston with the medical center and all the people that do know things as it pertains to MRIs, a lot of people hipping us the game from the 832. You don't turn MRIs off. They're always on. Maybe with like a super old one, you could, but mostly you don't turn them off or whatever. So
I didn't know that.
Today I learned. Yes, so man, there might be some litigation.
So you go by there. Whoop.
Yeah. So just obviously it's a lesson just in general to make sure, especially in areas of medical or just general, read them signs, obey them signs. Mm-hmm. But especially if you see something that relates to magnetics or MRIs in a hospital.
Yeah, double check.
Don't go over there. You don't need to be over there.
Because I did not double check. I totally forgot my nose ring. So that could have been ugly. So
I'm happy you still got check. A nose, dog. Yeah, like, man. That would have been real uncomfortable if you no longer had a nose doing this show. Yeah. It wouldn't have stopped you from being able to do the job. It just would have been uncomfortable.
Yeah, y'all probably be sitting just like how y'all are right to now. Not just to not look at me.
What happened to Figgy's nose? All right, coming up, though, we're about to hand it off to the fellows of the drive here in a second. But speaking of that text line where a lot of you get involved with the program, 713-572-4610, someone asked us this, Lopez. Which of the teams that just, you know, have gone through their offseason and headed into the new season in the fall, which is obviously the Houston Rockets and the Houston Texans, which of them reloaded better?
And reloaded.
Yes, because, I mean, that's the idea, or retooled, whatever you want to view.
Improve
that.
Improve themselves the most.
There you go. Because, I mean, both of them have done some big things. Both of them in, I think, to various degrees, championship window type vibes, right? Or at least stepping into that space where that is the goal, that is the is the objective. I mean, it feels like the easy answer is the Houston Rockets, right?
Yeah, that's. I was just going to ask you, I said, Is this a trick question? Because it seems to me the answer is relatively easy. All due respect to the Texans and what they've done, and they've added some very important pieces that, hell, might lead to a championship, you know? But have they added a proven franchise player?
And Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean.
Then on top of that, like, they addressed one of their very big needs by adding Dorian Finney-Smith as a level of shooting while also getting some of that defense back that they lose in sending Dylan Brooks in that trade, and they bring back a lot of their kind of stay ready guys so they don't lose that foundation. It still remains to be seen how it all comes together, but I think that one feels very evident. If you're trying to make the case for the Texans, where is the case to be made for them if you were trying to, you know, see if you could have them stack up to what the Rockets have done?
Yeah, I think obviously on the defensive side, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson would be one. Also, yes. Just the fact it's almost as if not addition subtraction, but just changing of the guard on the offensive side with the coordinator and the offensive line coach, that makes you better. Just almost even if almost by accident. I mean, they still have a lot to prove, and we don't know how good they're going to be. we don't know how good they are, but they can't. It's that old thing. They can't be that bad.
That one might be, and it's not the hidden one from the offense from the Texans. We've talked about this at great length. It's been the thing to talk about, especially I'm rewatching it, and half the damn time I'm trying not to write Bobby every note. Yeah. Like that matters a good amount. I think the hidden thing about that, and of course it remains to be seen for me, and I've probably harped on this maybe too much about the Rockets, I think their offensive, like the coaching part, is a part that I'm still interested in, on how they retool. So I don't want to take that for granted with the Texans. Don't know exactly what it looks like just yet, but I do think that having better offensive game planning and play calling is going to be a big lurch forward. One of the things I will give them offensive line-wise, it's the one that I was the least convinced about through the offseason as it was happening, and it's one that I'm still somewhat reserved about, reticent about, and I would love to see. But I will give them credit, having dudes that are just bigger.
Yeah.
Because what was it? Was it last week that I was talking about, you know, some of those instances, one of those times where Juice had a reach block and he got the block, but then he just gets beat because he's smaller than the defensive tackle that he's going up against.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen nearly as much this year, I don't think, having guys that are just bigger than your offensive linemen and able to beat them strictly off of the strength that they had. It was actually on Friday. It was the Detroit Lions game, because I remember it was Aleem McNeil just showing up, being real stronger than Juice Scruggs in that instance. And if you do go with an offensive line that looks like what we're anticipating right now, of course it's early, we'll see what the camp looks like. But having Lake and Tomlinson and a Titus Howard as your guards, and then the tackles that you have, that sizeability, you would hope that they have the strength and size to not get moved around, not get beaten that same way. No. I do think that is a level of retool that is probably worth the note.
No, I the only question is, are they going to be able to get there?
Are they effective? Yeah. are they effective in doing it?
Are they going to be able to get there? How about this training camp already starting?
First fight?
Within 2 hours.
We scrapping already.
Within the first.
Not the Texans, though.
They squabbling out there.
In the first.
Yeah.
It looks as if in the first hour of the first practice, the Dallas Cowboys are already fighting with each other. They're going at it, baby.
The Cowboys and the who?
Cowboys and Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, it's not a joint practice.
Okay.
We can't even get joint. We can't even get joint practice yet.
Yeah.
They're gonna win 11 now.
First hour's a bit much, isn't it?
It really does feel like. I do wonder how much of that fits in with like the Brian Schottenheimer, who's the new head coach out there, as we welcome in the fellas to the drive, courtesy of D&M Auto Leasing. It's Clint. It's Ron. With Schottenheimer out there, he's a real personable dude. I wonder how much like he's encouraging, like, hey, no, let's get the juices flowing day one.
Man. First hour?
Yeah, I don't know enough about Schottenheimer. I mean, you got to be a strong personality to turn that. And that is first day of training camp.
First hour?
That's a you're going too hard for me type of thing.
Really? Yes. Okay. Oh, no yeah.
Little All-American
No question.
Stuff.
That's a little All-American or a little entitled. Get your ass out there and get to work and quit worrying about how hard somebody. I mean, I watched Junior Seau be one of the hardest working, go hard guys all the time. And guess what? Nobody punched his ass.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
I mean, it was not. I mean, now he wasn't a fool, but I mean, he went hard in all scenarios. So it's on brand for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. Is it one of those where you know you walk into camp and everybody expects it to be so soft, and you got one guy that's out there actually getting work in, or do you have one idiot out there that's going too hard? And you know, it's so on brand of not being on one accord and not be, you know, everybody in the same boat, everybody trying to get better.
That's a good point.